able to be here, and so looking forward to what God is going to do this week. I appreciate the attitude of your pastor saying that he is longing and desire for a move of God here at First Baptist Church of Anboy and also in the town and the region. Unfortunately, we have pastors all across the country that as the Lord has allowed us to be in evangelism for this last almost a full calendar year now, we go into churches where people just don't want it. I mean, they're just going through the motions and kind of punching a spiritual time clock, and they just don't want it. And what God has called our family to do is just to maybe be a little spark. Amen. Just kind of wake some people up a little bit and let them realize that God's still alive. He's not dead. Amen. I serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today, and I'm glad that He is moving and He can move. And so we're going to deal a little bit about that today, about just kind of punching a spiritual time clock. And I ask you that you would have your hearts and minds open to the Word of God. And don't listen to me, but listen to the Holy Spirit. Anything that I have to say don't mean a thing. But everything God has to say means everything. Amen. And so if we just get Him in this thing, everything would be all right. Let's stand together. Genesis 35, verse number 1, as we pick up in the life of Jacob and introduce the thought of the message here in just a moment. Verse number 1, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem, and they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob." I will introduce the thought of the message as we go along, but first let's have a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we ask You, dear Lord God, that You would help us today to be able to preach the blessed Word of God. Lord, we do not want to try to give our thoughts or our ideas, but God, if You get in this thing and You help me, Lord, and Lord, more than help me, I ask You that You just do it. You preach it today. Lord, we'd see some great results happen for the kingdom of God. Lord, we don't want to just be stirred this morning. Lord, we want to be changed. We want to be different than when we came in. Because God, what we are in our flesh is nothing. But God, what we can be with the help of the Holy Ghost of God means everything as far as spirituality is concerned. So Lord, help me to preach. Help me to say what You want me to say. Help the hearers to take it to heart. And God, may old time religion continue right here in Amboy, Illinois, until You come again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to get a drink right now because I don't know if I'll have an opportunity to here in a minute. Jacob has come to a familiar place. Jacob has come to a place that he has been before, and God has showed up at this place before, and he is coming back to see something happen that is very interesting that we're going to look at today. I first of all want you to see about this place that Jacob comes to. We're introduced to the name of it in verse number 1. It says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel." Now, if you study your Bible for any length of time at all, you'll start running into various names in the Bible that they didn't name things like we name things nowadays. Now, I tell you what, there's some of those names that phonics was not my strong suit whenever I was in school. I've gotten a little better at it, but not much. Ask my wife and she'll tell how much I really haven't gotten that well at it. But I have gotten a little better at it. But other sometimes I'll be reading my Bible and I'll just say hallelujah and move on to the next word because I can't pronounce it. I've even done that in my preaching before too. But they have meanings to those names. There's a reason why they would name children certain names and reason why they name places certain names. We don't do that as much today as what they did. Now, I'll confess to you, I introduced my family just a little bit. I got my oldest son, Jacob, who's sitting here on the aisle. He's 13 years old. And then my second son, Isaac, who's 12 years old. Yes, we raise linebackers in Missouri. They are barely in their teens. He's not even a teenager yet. And then we got Abigail, who's 8 years old, and Leah, who's 5. We're just trying to survive her is all we're trying to do. They're down in children's church right now. You'll see that before the week's over. But anyways, it's been amazing how we didn't necessarily name our children because of some characteristic or anything like that, like they do in Bible times. But it so happened that God had other plans. We named our oldest son Jacob, and if we'll talk about it in a little bit, but that word Jacob means supplanter and trickster. Boy, did we name him right. Yeah, I know. We were asking for it, whatever we named him, Jacob. And then Isaac came along, and we named him Isaac. And if you know the story in the Bible of how Isaac was named, his name means laughter, because Sarah laughed whenever she heard she was going to have a baby. He's our funny guy. So we named him right too as well. Now, we're still waiting to see about Abigail and Leah, see how that all turns out. But we normally don't do things like that a whole lot. We don't name them because of characteristics or things like they did in the Old Testament and the Bible times. But they did do that. They named places because of things that happened. And this word Bethel is no exception. If you are to study names in the Bible, you would come across this famous one, because the word Bethel is separated into two parts. You have Beth, and you have El or El. And when you study your Bible, you'll find out very quickly that El means God. You'll see that many different times in the Bible, that El means God. And Beth means house. So we literally have the house of God. That's what Bethel means. That's why you see many different churches across America that are named Bethel or Bethel Baptist Church or things. It literally means the house of God. So by way of application this morning, I want to say that Jacob is going to church. Jacob is going to the house of God. He's going to a place that by way of, not interpretation, but by way of application, he's going to the house of God. And let me say, by a parallel to this application, there's some things that need to transpire at the house of God. May I just say, I'm thankful for the house of God. Amen. I'm thankful that I can come to His house. Amen. I like coming to church. You people are my crowd. I don't have any other crowd. Church people are my crowd. I don't. My wife and I talk about this all the time when we're traveling down the highway. We don't have any other crowd. Do you realize I feel more comfortable with some of you who maybe I've just met in the last few months or maybe even today for the first time? I feel more comfortable with you than I do some of my own family. I'm not talking about my immediate family. I'm talking about my extended family. I feel more comfortable. Hey, I'd rather be in church than a family reunion any day of the week. Amen. Too much fighting and feuding that goes on in one of those things. Well, that happens in church too. But anyways, I'd still rather be with you folks. Amen. You're my crowd. I like coming to church. I hope you do too. But by way of application here, Jacob is going to the house of God. He's going to Bethel. Now, what happens when he gets there? Well, when he goes to Bethel, it's a place where God dwells. The Bible says here in verse number 1, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." I like it when God shows up. Amen. I like it when God shows up at His house. The preacher made a comment just a minute ago. I've never thought of it this way. I do like going to camp meetings. We're going to go to a few of them this year, and we enjoy singing that type of music. Man, I tell you what, my wife and I will be going down the road, and we'll be listening to other people sing this type of music and things like that. And I tell you what, we'll be wiping tears and shouting and everything. Pray for us. We're going to be in a wreck one of these days whenever we're shouting going down the road. But hallelujah, I'm glad. Hey, I'm just one of these people that believe that you don't need to endure your salvation. You can enjoy it. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ saved us and we don't have to be in the mully grubs about it. And I also like going to the house of God when God's home. Amen. There's been some times I've been to the house of God and God isn't home. But I like going to the house of God when God's home. If you were to go right now to 19 Millstone Lake Drive in Winfield, Missouri, and you were to knock on the door, nobody would answer the door. Well, nobody better answer the door because we're not there. Amen. That's my house. That's where my family resides. If you were to knock on the door, you wouldn't get an answer because we're here in Amboy, Illinois. But I don't like it whenever I go to the house of God and come sit on the pews and God's not there and not home. I like coming to His house when He's home. And we need to pray and seek the face of God so that way when we come together like we are right now on Sunday morning, God shows up in the midst. I like it whenever you get one of those snot slingers. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of you have never been a part of them. I know some haven't. I like it whenever God shows up and all of a sudden, you know, your eyes start leaking a little bit. Amen. Somebody will get up and sing a song. Somebody will get up and testify. A preacher will get up and preach and it starts tugging at the heartstrings. And all of a sudden you're wiping tears. You're blowing your nose and you get your nose hanky and your eye hanky mixed up and you got snot all over the place and everything. I won't illustrate. I'm telling you what, I like it when things like that start happening. I like it when people start going to one another and getting right with one another. Amen. Hey, man, it's amazing how you see people that go to the same church and this person sitting over here and that person sitting over there haven't talked to each other in 10 years. It happens. It happens. And I'm telling you what, I like it when God shows up and all of a sudden you see this guy get up over here and start walking to the back. And this guy gets up here and start walking to the back. And they meet right in the aisle and they hug one another and start crying, start confessing to one another. Then they both come to the altar, boo-hooing and bawling. I like it when God shows up in His house. Amen. Maybe God will do that this week. Maybe God will show up this week. That's what I'm praying for. I like going to Bethel. I like going to God's house when God's home. Not only is it a place where God dwells, but it's a place we should dwell to as well. Verse number 1, it says, "And God sent unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there." It should be a place where we want to stay a while. I tell you what, there have been times in my life where God has gave us one of those type of services that I just described a minute ago. And it's amazing that whenever God shows up like that, people don't want to leave. It is. I mean, the service will be done. I mean, there's been times, Brother Hicks, I've been in services. Man, we sang for 45 minutes to an hour. I'm telling you what, God just shows up. And then the preacher got up and he preached 45 minutes to an hour. Then we have an invitation for 30 minutes. And I'm telling you, we've already been there a couple hours. We dismiss the service and people don't go home. They just stand around. Why? Because they want to be where God is. Hey, whenever God shows up at His house, it's amazing how God's people that have a desire for God don't want to leave. And that should be our attitude. Is we should want to go to the house of God and just dwell there a while. Now, I'm not talking about bringing your sleeping bags and camping out all week long. The preacher wants you to do that. That's his business. But anyway, I'm talking about wanting to be in God's house. I'm talking about can't wait till the doors are open. I mean, ha! You see these things on the news. The latest gadget comes out. The latest iPhone comes out. People are camping out around the block so that way they can get the first one in New York City of an iPhone. They're going to spend $800 to $1,000 on a phone and they're going to camp out 2 days before on the street just so they can get it. Hey, wouldn't it be something if we had people camped out in front of the church waiting for the doors to open because they want to meet with the God of the house of God. Amen. We see He goes to Bethel, to the house of God, the place. But then I also want you to notice when He goes to Bethel, the purging that takes place. Look here in verse number 1, the middle of verse. He tells him, "And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Notice here that this purging is going to start with an altar. It's not an altar unto the pastor. It's not an altar unto the deacon. It's not an altar even unto Jacob himself. It's an altar unto God. And I encourage you this week, like I'm sure your pastor has in times past, and will I'm sure this week, to use an old-fashioned altar. I know you can pray in your seat. I realize there's some that are physically limited to be able to do that. I'm not talking about that. But there's something about stepping out of your seat and coming down to an old-fashioned altar. Something about coming down here and meeting with God and getting things right. Well, You know what it's like to get down to an altar and get squeaky clean? You know what I'm talking about? You confess those things that are in your life. You know that you're not supposed to be there. The preacher's preached on it. The Holy Ghost of God's pointed it out. And you come down to an altar and you get up and woo, feels like you can run a marathon. Amen. Why? Because you have met with God and you got purged at the altar. It starts with an altar. But then the purging also happens whenever we get sanctified from perverse authorities in our life. Look at verse number 2. It says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you." Notice that they got the idols out of their life. They got rid of these strange gods. When you come to the house of God, God will start dealing with you about the idols that are in your life. You say, "Oh, preacher, I'm good with this. Preacher, you brought up idols. I'm fine. Preacher, I do not have a statue in my house. Before I left to go to church today, I didn't have one of those little fat brass guys that I rub the head or the belly whenever." You know what I'm talking about? You go to those Chinese restaurants and you know what I'm saying? You got that little fat guy sitting right there that you they rub the head or the belly or something. You know how many people have touched that thing? I ain't touching that thing. Amen. God help us. Say, "I didn't bow down to some Buddha. I didn't bow down to some idol or something before I came to church today. I'm fine with this point, preacher. Preach on. I'll egg you on. No problem. But I don't have any idols in my life." The Bible says anything that comes between you and God is an idol. That could be, it doesn't have to be in physical form. It, by the way, it doesn't even have to be something sinful of itself. It could be a hobby. It could even be family. It could be a job. I'm serious. It could be anything. Nothing sinful of itself that could get in the way of you serving God. Hey, listen, even as I'm talking about this right now, and I haven't even said anything specific, but let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost of God's already pointing things out in your mind that is coming between your soul and the Savior. What is it that's keeping you from walking with God? What is it that's keeping you from being faithful to Bethel, the house of God? Hey, that's an idol in your life, friend. You ought to just come to the altar and get rid of it this week. Amen. I'd love to see the pastor get nervous. I'd love to see you get nervous because all of a sudden some teenager that has things hanging on their walls in their bedroom that a child of God shouldn't have, stuff them in a trash bag and come put them at the altar this week. Amen. Hey, stuff like that used to happen. Used to have that there'd be some music that a child of God shouldn't be listening to. By the way, there is music that a child of God shouldn't listen to. Amen. That they used to go get their cassette tapes and their CDs and, depends on how old you are, 8-track tapes and all that type of stuff too, records and all that. And I'm telling you what, they used to put them in trash bags and boxes and bring them to the altar, get rid of them for the honor of God. Hey, listen, I believe God can still do stuff like that again. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't have that stuff. It's digital." Okay, then you need to go delete some stuff off your iPhone. Amen. You need to go delete some stuff off your Android phone. Amen. Your iPod, whatever it is, and need to get rid of it for the glory of God. Hey, when you come to Bethel, when you come to the house of God, and you come to an old-fashioned altar, it'll purge you of adverse authorities in your life. You'll get rid of those things. It says those strange gods. That's what they gave to him. Strange gods. Those are foreign things. You know what's foreign to a child of God? Anything to do with the world. That should be foreign to us. Anything to do with our flesh, that should be foreign to us. Anything to do with the devil. Man, we live in a sad day when even the occult and devil worship is entering our churches today. I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I might as well dig a deep hole. I'm going to go ahead. Listen to me. We are seeing the day whenever there are churches, God's good churches, that are looking to the devil's churches how to imitate their worship. And you know where they got that worship from? They didn't get it from God. They got it from the devil. They got it from satanic worship. Listen, I don't want to go into a church. I like this. I like going to a church and there's bright lights in here. Amen? I like to be able to see what's going on. I heard a story. My dad told me a story. He was listening on a radio station to a couple, a liberal preachers, okay? Not independent Baptist preachers, liberal preachers. He was listening to them talk about the state of the church. Well, you know when liberal preachers are saying it's bad, you know we're in trouble. But there was an older liberal preacher that was talking on there, and he told a story that he went to one of these new evangelical, one of these new ecumenical, these new age churches, and it was just like all of these new ones. They had the lights turned way down low. They had the screen up there, and they got up there and did their little billy bop, boo bop, the old music that they did with their drums and everything else, and then they asked him to get up there and to preach. And as soon as he got up to preach, he went back and he looked at the sound man and the light man. He said, "Hey, do you mind if you go ahead and turn the house lights up? I want them to turn in their Bible and read something." That was his mistake. He stood up and went about his preaching, went about what he was going to say. This is a liberal preacher, ladies and gentlemen. When he got done, the little skinny jean wearing pastor that invited him in, amen, came up to him and said, "Sir, you'll never be asked to speak at our church again." He said, "We don't turn the lights up when it's preaching time. We don't have them turn in their Bibles because we're afraid that they're not going to know where the book is in the Bible and they're going to be ashamed and not listen to anything I have to say." He said, "Well," he said, "little punk preacher," he didn't say that, I added that. He said, "Since I'm not coming back anyways, let me tell you something." He said, "It's a shame if your people under your tutelage don't know where the books of the Bible are for them to see where to go and read the verses." He said, "It's a shame that you haven't taught them enough of the Word of God that they can even find it." If a liberal preacher's saying that, we're in trouble in churches today because that's even creeping into our independent Baptist churches. God help us. God help us that whenever we come to the house of God, that we don't look to the world's churches. We don't look to those perverse idol churches, but we just stick with the book. Amen? We see here the perverse authorities, the world, the flesh, the devil. It was cleaned out. And then also notice the physical appearance change. Look at the end of verse number 2. It says, "Not only did he say, put away the strange gods which are among you, but he said, and be clean and change your garment." They're going to church. So he said, "We don't like the way we look. We got to change some things." Hey, listen, when you go to the house of God, when you go to Bethel, you'll get yourself cleaned up. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." When you come to the house of God, when you come to Bethel, you'll get your life cleaned up. It'll clean you up. He says, "Get rid of your idols and be clean." Boy, I tell you what, don't you love it when a new convert starts coming? And you don't really have to tell them a whole lot, but they start looking around and seeing that they may not dress the same as everybody else, but all of a sudden, a couple weeks into it, all of a sudden they come in, maybe in a suit and tie. They come in wearing something that they would never thought they'd ever wear before. They come in looking all spiffed up and ready to go. Listen, I realize it takes time for people to grow. I'm not talking about overnight. Listen, you didn't get to where you are either overnight, sir. You didn't get to where you are overnight, ma'am. But I'm telling you what, it's great when God changes a life, amen. And you start seeing them get cleaned up a little bit because the preaching and the altar and the Spirit of God will do that to a person. And that happens when you come to Bethel. Get cleaned up. And then says they changed their garments, changed their clothes. I still believe that the Bible talks about that a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. Amen? I'm not here to deal with all that. That's your pastor's business to do with all that. But let me tell you something. The Bible still says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." Amen? There should be a difference between God's kids and the devil's kids. Amen? There should be a difference. Should be a difference with that. You say, "Yeah, but preacher, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." So I'm telling you what, as long as God knows what's on the inside, everything is okay. Hey, I'm not trying to reach God for God. I'm trying to reach the world for God. And they can't see my heart. All they can see is what's on the outside. So I think there should be a difference between a child of God and the devil's kids. Amen. Amen. I wish I had more time to stay there, but I'm not going to. The physical appearance check. We see the place, Bethel. We see the purging, perverse authorities. We see the physical appearance change. But then we also see, number four, the power of the cross. You say, preacher, how do you see the power of the cross in this passage of Scripture? Look at verse number four. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob, watch this now, hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. There was a tree involved when they got right with God. And let me tell you something, every time you get right with God around an old-fashioned altar, there'll be a tree involved. It's called Calvary, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. I got saved at Calvary. I went and came to Calvary and saw my lostness. But now, even though that I'm saved, I need to take a trip to Calvary every now and then to realize the sin in my life that needs to get clean before God. Amen. Notice they hid them under the oak. They hid them. They got rid of their sin. And I'm glad that my sin's hid at Calvary. I'm glad it's hid at the cross. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse number 1 through 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm glad that my life is now hid behind that oak. It's hid behind the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. For the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, when you come to Calvary, it'll change some things in your life. When you come to Calvary, the cross will crucify this old flesh. Amen. You won't want to do the things that this flesh wants to do when you come to Calvary. When you come to Calvary, the cross will correct your fancies. Your desires will be different. You know what you'll do? You'll do something crazy. You'll do something crazy like come to church all day Sunday and then come back again Monday night. I mean, just watch your neighbors as you drive out and just wave to them as they're looking out the window. And they're like, what are those crazy Christians doing leaving on a Monday night? I know they go on Sunday, and man, they go every Sunday. How crazy is it that they go every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? But man, it's Monday night. What are they doing all dressed up going to church? And then you'll even do something crazier. You'll go out again on Tuesday night. And then they'll really think you flipped. Hey, and who knows? Maybe God will get in this thing. Maybe we'll even go on Thursday and Friday night too. Amen. I'm not trying to make anything happen, but stranger things have happened. Amen. Hey, your neighbors will think that you're crazy. Hey, fine. Just be a fanatical for Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. When you come to the cross, it'll correct your fancies. Your desires will be different. You'll want to go to the house of God. Preacher won't have to drag you to the house of God. You'll want to be there. That happens when you show up at Calvary. And then the cross will also coordinate your feet with His feet. Our walk will be different when we get around Calvary. We'll want to do things that we've never wanted to do before. We'll want to not do things that we used to do before. Amen? We won't go to some places that a child of God has no business going. We won't drink things, amen, that a child of God has no business drinking. We won't put things in our mouth. We won't say things. We won't participate in things all because we've been to Calvary. Hey, when you come to Bethel, come to the house of God, the cross will correct your fancies, will make you coordinate with His feet and will crucify the flesh. And then I like the first phrase of verse number 5. After they got the idols out of the way, after they changed their garments, it says, and they journeyed. They didn't hang around where those idols were. They didn't hang around where those changes of garments were. They went on for God and did what God wanted them to do. Hallelujah. When you get victory, don't wallow around that sin anymore. Go on for God and live for Him. Amen. And they journeyed. But there's something that changes in the next few verses, and this is what I want to get to. Verse number 7. God has Jacob build this altar, and look what He names it, verse number 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now hang on a second. When I first started the message, I said that Bethel means house of God. Because we know that term Beth means house, and that term El means God. But when he built an altar, he didn't call it Bethel, he called it El Bethel. You know what that means? It's not just the house of God, it's the God of the house of God. And I'm afraid, preacher, that we got some people that are coming to Bethel. They're coming to the house of God. They're hearing the preaching. And they're hearing the singing. And they may even flip in their 25 cents in the offering plate so they can tip God that they've been there. But they're coming to Bethel, but they're not meeting with the God of the house of God. There's a difference, friend. There's a difference with you just coming and sitting on the pews and never going any farther for God. There's a difference of you just coming in to Bethel and thank God for the house of God. Oh, but when you meet El Bethel, when you meet the God of the house of God, when you meet the one that this is all about, it changes everything. What are you talking about, preacher? Hey, when you come to El Bethel, God will show up. Look at verse number 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again. Aren't you glad when God shows up again? Amen. Aren't you glad that how when in Jonah's day, remember when he disobeyed God, where it said that the word of the Lord came unto the son, Jonah, the son of Amittai, the second time? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances, third chances, 15th chances, 30th chances, 100th chances? I'm glad that God can appear again. Amen. When he went to El Bethel, when he went and made the altar, then God shows up. Why? Because it's the God of the house of God. Look what happened when God shows up. Verse number 10. It says, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Hey, when I go to El Bethel, when you go to El Bethel, not just Bethel, but when you meet the God of the house of God, number one, you'll get a new label. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not of my father the devil anymore. But when I met the God of the house of God, I'm a child of the King. Amen. I'm so glad that I have my God as my Heavenly Father. No more do I have to lay my head on my pillow at night and worrying about waking up in the flames of hell. Instead, if something happens to me, I wake up in the arms of Jesus. Amen. All because I met El Bethel. I met the God of the house of God. So I got a new label. God said unto Jacob, your name means trickster. Your name means supplanter. But now that you've met the God of the house of God, he said, your name's going to be Israel. Means prince with God. Hallelujah. God can change your label. God can change your name. God can change who you are when you meet El Bethel. Amen. Not only that did he get a new label, but look what else he got. Verse number 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Not only did he get a new label, but number two, he got a new legacy too as well. He's going to have kings born of his family. Not just kings. Hallelujah. One day the King of Kings is going to be born in his family. You know, that all happened when he met the God of the house of God. Didn't happen just at Bethel. But when he built that altar and he met with the God of the house of God, he got a new legacy. Tell you what, Brother Hicks, I'm having the time of my life traveling this country. You got to see standing up here with my two boys and my wife singing God's praises, getting up and preach the Word of God, getting up to spit and sputter all over the nation. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm doing that. Hey, I'm glad for the legacy that God's given me. I'm glad for the children that God has given me. And I'm glad that I get to serve God with them. I'm glad that I got a dad and a mom. My dad that pastored for almost 30 years and now he's traveling the country in full-time evangelism. Has been for the last five, almost 6 years now. I'm glad for my mom that's been faithful. I'm glad for my in-laws. My father-in-law has been pastoring in Batavia, Iowa for 29 years. I'm glad for the legacy that my parents have. I'm glad for the legacy that my in-laws have. I'm glad for that. You say, preacher, I don't have that legacy. I don't have that legacy of a rich heritage like you do or like some in this room. Well, hey, make up your mind. You're going to be the start of it right now. You're going to be the one that's going to go to El Bethel. You're going to be the one that's going to go to the house of God and say, God, I give you my family. I give you my life. And I want my kids to serve God. I want my grandkids to serve God. I want my great-grandkids to serve God. Hallelujah. When you meet the God of the house of God, you'll get a new legacy. Amen. You can come to Bethel and thank God for the things that we have at the house of God. Whoo, but it all changes when you meet El Bethel, the God of the house of God. That's not only God. Look at verse number 12. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Not only did I get a new label, and I got a new legacy, but number three, I got a new land. Amen. I'm a citizen of two worlds. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My wife and I have been listening to songs about heaven lately. And I'm telling you what, hearing the muck and the mire that's going on in this old world, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go see my Savior. Hallelujah. One of these days, we're going to get out of here, friend. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. But you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's got room for everyone. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Jesus is preparing a place for me right now. Listen, friend, I got Jesus Christ as my interior decorator. Glory to God. You can have HGTV. You can have DIY Network. I got the Son of God preparing a place for me. Glory to God. Whoo. Have you ever thought what it's going to be like? That first breath in heaven. I tell you what, you breathe that in down here. You're in crop and corn country. You breathe in around here, you may get pesticides and everything else when you breathe in. I wonder why we're dying earlier. I live near St. Louis. I breathe a big breath down there and I get smog and pollution and everything else. But think about that first breath in heaven. That'll be a breath like we've never had before. We breathe. No pain. No aches or pain. I'm telling you what, you won't have trouble breathing up there. I mean, have you ever thought about what that first breath is going to be like? I don't know about you, friend, but I'm ready. I'm ready to breathe that first breath. And then it just gets better from there. Because not only do I breathe that breath of life, but hallelujah, I'm going to get to see life Himself. I'm going to get to see my Savior. Hey, when I came to Bethel, I didn't get that. But when I'm at El Bethel, I got a new land. Amen. Hallelujah, one of these days I'm going home. This world don't have anything for me. Hallelujah, one of these... Hey, listen church. If you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the worst you'll ever have it. The best is yet to come. But if you're here and you're lost without God, this is the best you'll ever have it. The worst is yet to come. And go ahead and turn on the news. If this is the best you'll have it, you're in a heap of trouble, friend. Amen. Hey, when I met El Bethel, when I met the God of the house of God, I got a new land. This world's not my home. Then one more. Not only did I get a new label, not only did I get a new legacy, not only did I get a new land, but look at verse number 13. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Ha! Number four. I got a new lingo. I need another L word, so I use the word lingo. You said, preacher, you could have used language. I know, but you'll remember lingo a whole lot more than language. Amen. Hey, listen. I get to talk with God. I got a new language. Think about that. I get to talk to the God of the universe. When I kneel down to pray, when I read His Word, I can talk to Him. And guess what? He can talk back. Preacher, you mean you hear the voice of God? You mean you don't? I'm not talking about some audible voice that comes out of heaven. We live in the day and age and with the completed Word of God. He don't do that anymore. I understand that. But I'm telling you what, I'm glad that I can talk to Him and He can talk back. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And they know me. If you're one of His sheep, you're going to hear His voice. And if you haven't ever heard the voice of God, it makes me wonder if you know the shepherd. Amen. Amen. I got a new lingo. I can talk to God. All because, not just when I came to Bethel, but when I met El Bethel, the God of the house of God. I'm going to show you one more passage of Scripture and I'm done. I'm just about done. I'm afraid, though, where we're at is we're not interested in El Bethel. We're just interested in Bethel. And so our attitude is this. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 33 and I'm done. I'm afraid this is where we are in America today. We're like these people in Ezekiel 33. Look at this in verse number 30. Ezekiel 33, and then I'll be done. Says also, verse number 30, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. Now, if we were to stop at that passage of Scripture right there, we'd think, boy, this is pretty good. We got people that are in their houses that are talking about going to church and hearing the Word of God. I'm telling you what, us as preachers and pastors and evangelists, we say, this is pretty good. We got people talking about it. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people come. Boy, they look good. They look like they're doing everything they're supposed to. And they sit before thee as my people. Boy, they look good sitting in the pew. Everything looks fine. And they hear thy words. I mean, it seems like everything's good. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. The pastor has called for a heart revival this week. And I'm afraid that we have people that are even sitting on the pews of Bethel. They look like they got it all together. They hold their Bible right. Put a little bit in the offering plate. They stand and sing when the song leader wants them to sing. And may even make a show and come to the altar. But they have no intention of doing anything that's being preached from the Word of God. They leave here on a Sunday morning. And they go home to the same sin, to the same covetousness that they've done all week long. And here's their attitude towards the preaching. Look at verse number 32. And I believe we're seeing this in America all over. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice. And can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. You may even go home today and say, well, you know what? I may come back tonight and see that loud spitting preacher this evening. See what else he's going to do that's crazy. I may come back and hear the harps sing again because I kind of enjoy their music. But then the Holy Ghost of God starts piercing your heart to go farther with Him. And you say, no, I'm just here for the show. I'm just here for the show. I'm just here to see what's going to happen next. I'm not here to get involved, God. I'm just here for the show. You've come to Bethel, but you haven't met with El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Would to God this week, we'd have those, maybe they're lost without God, have never even been to Bethel or El Bethel or anything. And they'll come and get saved. But would to God we'd have some saved people that would start meeting with the God of the house of God. And say, God, I'm ripping open my heart. Take that stony heart out and put in a fleshly one. Because I need to meet with El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Let's stand, please.